While holding on, I involve upward base by the two dots about the middle of the onward. So one begins Nishbara at Simchola. We said in the the Mishnah said Nishbara at Simchola, that we said if a bone off on the leg of an animal breaks, then it depends. We said if most of the flesh is intact, then Shchitosim Tahavto, then not only is the animal still kosher, but the limb itself is mutter when you shech the animal. And if not, then we said ein shchitasim mitaharjoy, then the shchita will not be mitahar, that limb will be considered an Avraham Adoldol, a dangling limb that we talked about the other day, if most of the flesh is not there. So we have to figure out, what does that mean, first of all? Where did the break take place? Amar Rav, so Rav says like this, l'mayla min ha'akorba, let's start with, if the break was above the joint, and again, by the joint, we're talking about the lower joint of the leg, what would correspond in a human being to the ankle, or the wrist, the ankle, actually, because we're talking about hind legs. So Rav is saying like this, if the break took place above that joint, then it depends, im roiv habosokayim, then if most of the flesh is intact around it, then zev zem mutter, then both the animal as a whole and the individual limb are mutter to eat, the im lav, and if roiv habosokayim is not intact, zev zem also, then Rav says, since it's above that joint, then both the animal as a whole as well as the individual limb would be also. In other words, the animal would be tricked. In other words, Rav is saying that if it's l'mayla min ha'akorba, if it's above the joint. So far, that's not what the Mishnah is talking about, because the Mishnah talks about two cases. One where the limb is mutter, and of course the rest of the animal is also, and another one where the animal is mutter and the limb is also. That Rav hasn't dealt with what that scenario would be. That would be,
the limb is mutter and the animal is usur?
There's no such thing, no. It would be the other way around. You can have the animal mutter and the limb usur, because it would be an Avraham Adoldol. So far, Rav has only told us, if it's above the joint, then there's no in-between cases. Either roiv habosokayim and then the limb itself is mutter, along with the rest of the animal. If not, then the animal is treif and the limb is also usur. L'mata min ha'akuba, as opposed to if the break took place below the joint, someplace on the cannon bone or whatever, then... So again, if most of the flesh around it is intact, then both the animal as a whole and the individual limb itself are mutter. And if not, if most of the flesh is not intact, that is the case where the Mishnah is saying, Aver also behemoth mutteris, that the Aver, the limb itself, will be also that broke. Will be also, that'll be an Avraham Adoldol, but the animal as a whole will be mutter. So that's how Rav learns the cases of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had only mentioned two possibilities, that either the animal as a whole, as well as the limb, is mutter, or that the animal is mutter, but the limb is osur. And Rav is explaining basically both of those are only referring to if the break was in the lower part of the leg. But if it was higher up in the leg, then you have two other possibilities. Either again, roiv boser is intact, and then not only everything is mutter, including the limb. But if it's not intact, not only the limb is going to be also, but the animal as a whole is going to be also, because it's straight.
If most of the flesh
surrounding the break
higher
is
than that,
high,
in other words,
if you had a break higher than that, higher than the alcova, higher than the joint.
Right.
And you have most of the flesh around it is not intact, which we'll talk about soon what we mean by most, then Rav would say the animal as a whole is tricked. Okay. If most of the flesh is not there, if most of the boser is not kayam, then Rav will say the whole animal is tricked. Right.
And if most of the flesh is there, then
everything will be mutter, including neighbor. Right. Or Shmuel, I'm a bein l'mayla, bein l'mata. Shmuel says no. Whether you're talking above or below the joint, either way, it doesn't matter. Again, we're talking about where the tzemes hagidin are not implicated, because then you have a different issue. im roiv habasakayim zeva zeh mutter. If most of the flesh around the break is intact, then both the animal and the limb are mutter. The im lav, and if not, eva also behemah muteres. Then the limb will be also, and the behemah will be mutter. In other words, Shmuel is saying that the Mishnah, when it says when the Mishnah distinguishes between roiv habasar and not, it has nothing to do with where the break is, whether it's above or below the joint. Shmuel will say.
And according to
Rav,
scenario where the whole animal would be.
Well, I mean, if you had breaks in other places, right? If you had breaks in other places, no. Just in terms of broken bones and just in terms of compound fractures, then no. So now, Maskefor Rav Nachman l'Shmuel. So now, Rav Nachman challenges Shmuel on that. How can you say Yoimru Avim Imenu Mutar Ba'Ashbo Muteres? What's the logic? People are going to say you have one limb in the case where most of the buster is not intact. Where we're saying therefore that the Aver itself is considered is usur because it's an Aver Amadildo, are you going to say that you have a limb of this animal is lying in the garbage because it has to be thrown out because you can't eat it, and Umuteres and the animal as a whole is mutar? What's the logic? What's the logic that you would say that the animal as a whole is mutter when you say that one aver of it is when you say that one aver of it is also so omelet of Achabarabuna, Lurav Nachman, Lurav Nachman, sort of Achabarabuna says Lurav Nachman. So what's your problem? Lurav Nami, you're every man of mutter bashkul mutteris. So you could have the same challenge on Rav. He also says that there's a case where the limb can be osir and the animal as a whole is mutter. Omelet. So Rav Nachman says, "Hachi kamina." Fine, you're right. But that in and of itself, that's not a problem. Sure, you can have that a non-vital organ is missing from the animal and has to be thrown in the garbage, and yet the animal as a whole is mutter. My problem with Shmuel is Yomru. People are going to say, "Not Yomru." Hachi kamina. Eva shechaya mimena. You're telling me that a vital organ. That a vital organ, mutter ba'ashver, is lying in the garbage, or muteras, and yet the animal is going to be mutter. In other words, the fact of the matter is, we've established before that the tzoymes hagid, in that whole area of the leg, is... you're saying the lower part of the leg is, or at least the tzemes hagidin that are over there, are vital to the life of the animal. That's why we said if they're missing or cut or whatever, then it's trait. So what's the logic that whole limb is going to be lying in the garbage, and you're going to be saying that the animal as a whole is mutter? Since when do you have? If it's the Avershana Shabbat Loya boy, exactly. If it's a vital organ, then how do you have?
It's in the garbage or not?
Well, now that's the point. In other words, what's the logic that a vital organ should be considered trace? Nayla, we've talked about earlier. Fine, you can have, let's say, a leg of an unborn baby is trace, and the baby as a whole and the mother as a whole is trace. Fine, but here you're telling me
that.
By the way,
we didn't talk for a baby of 7 years.
No, because you have the same issue. In other words, if the baby needs its own shchita, then shreif is applied to it. If not, then not. That's what we had actually yesterday. We had the case of a ben pekuah that was attacked by a wolf, and we said shreifas don't apply to it because it doesn't require shchita. The only question is, does it actually maybe require shchita on the grounds of the gzeira d'rabbanon because we don't mix it up with a regular animal? So those are the two opinions, Rav and Shmuel, and we have Rav Nachman arguing on Shmuel that what's the logic to say that if you have the lower leg is considered vital, the tzemes hagidin is something vital, that you're telling me that if it's missing, then the animal can be kosher as a whole. Okay. So what is the halacha like? Shochol mitam, they sent a message from there, meaning
the tzemes hagidin is not considered vital for a human being.
We talked about this yesterday. Knew whether it is or not. I mean, in general, trephus that apply to animals apply to human beings also. Nowadays, modern medicine will say that it's not. But the halacha, I don't know. I mean, where is it really relevant? It's relevant, I guess, to the case where you have a person with a trephus.
Whether it's relevant or not.
I don't know.
Rendering?
I have no idea. I don't know if it's discussed because I don't know if it's relevant. Halacha. I mean, sometimes you talk about if a person is a trefa, you talk about if a person is a trefa and somebody kills them, let's say, or they chayav misa. The fascists, maybe we would say if a person's tzemes hagidin is damaged, then maybe, yeah, we would say that if another person kills me, that chayav misa. I don't know. Okay. Shochol mitam, they sent a message from there, meaning from Eretz Yisrael. Hilchasa kabasei de Rav, the halacha is like Rav, that... If the break is anywhere above the joint over there, anywhere above the ankle joint, then the and most of the buster around it is not kayim, then the animal as a whole is going to be tricked. Hodur Shohu Kavaseh Shmuel. Then they sent another message changing their mind and saying actually the halacha is like Shmuel, that even if the break is above, that even if the break is above there, even if the break is above there, even if Roy's Boster is not, even above the Arkova, even if most of the Boster is not intact, the worst that can happen is that the Aver is also, the animal as a whole will not be also. So then they sent another message changing their mind yet again. Actually, they sent another message. The halacha is after all like Rav. And not only that, this limb that we're talking about will be metame tumas nevela if a person carries it, or touches it for that matter, because it'll have the din of tumas nevela, because we learned a couple of days ago, shchita oisin nipul, that when you shech an animal that has a dangling limb like that, the shchita makes it considered as if it fell off. They hold. Now we discussed over there back and forth. We said it, we had a couple of different opinions on the subject. We ended up saying over there that actually shchita is not oisin nipul, only misa oisin nipul. But now when they sent from Eretz Yisrael, they were the opinion that they were following this last time where they said that the limb will be metame. They were following the view, says Rashi, that they were following the view that shchita oisin nipul, that it makes it, that it's considered that this limb fell off before the shchita, and therefore it'll be Avim and Achai, which in terms of tumah has the same din as Nevela.
So they
went back and forth a few times.
Shchita
oisin nipul. So we said over there, here they're saying shchita oisin nipul, which is different than what we said a few days ago. Okay, so those are that's what they were saying. Okay. Masiv Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, I have a contradiction. You're telling me that shchita oitem nipul. I'll prove to you that ain't shchita oitem nipul. We discussed that the other day, but yeah, we're discussing it now. But we learned before when we had the whole sugya about the case of the Avraham Adoldol and the case of the limb of the baby is the shchita of the mother Mataharet, where we said Rav Meir says no and the Chacham said yes. We mentioned in that connection an argument that we said loy im Rav Meir had argued over there that it's not a valid comparison. We said there between the fact that the shchita of the mother is metahar the mother herself versus like metahar the baby. Yes, the shchita of a trefa can be metahar from tumas nevela, the animal itself, as well as an eva that's dangling from it, because the difference is davar shegufa, because that's all part of its actual body. How could it be metaher a limb of the baby, which is not part of the mother's body itself? But we see from that, in other words, that the shchita of even a trefa is metaher the Avraham Adoldol. So what are you telling me? The halacha is not only like Rav, that the animal is trefa because the break was above the ankle joint, and that the urn and that the boster is not, that most of the boster is not intact, and you're telling me therefore this limb will be metamic to the vela. Even Rav Meir is arguing over there. Even Rav Meir was machmir is arguing over there that and taking it as a given that the limb itself will not be metamic to the vela.
In the Avraham Adoldol,
right? So Amalei Rabba, the Rabba says to Rav Chista, Haduri Apirchi Lomalach. Why do you have to go so far to look for a contradiction, to find a challenge to this statement that they sent from Eretz Yisrael, where after all, not everybody knows all Braises. Oisiv Mimasnitzim. Better you should be able to ask a question from a Mishnah, where Mishnayas everybody knows in the Bate Medrash, namely. The Mishnah itself is later on in Perek Ha'Ovah HaRoiter, the ninth Perek of Amasekta. We quoted it also in that sugya earlier about Avraham Adoldol on Daf Ayin Gimel. We said Nishchata Behema, if the animal with a dangling limb was shechted, Hukshru B'Dameha, we said that they are Mukshal Kaval Tumah by the blood that came out of the animal when it was shechted. So therefore, the limb that's attached here also becomes Mukshal Kaval Tumah. Divrei Meir. So
even if the blood doesn't form the limb.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. It's all considered one piece. Divrei Rav Meir, that's what Rav Meir says. Rav Shimon and Eloy Hukshura, and Rav Shimon says that it's not Mukshal Kabal Tumah as we talked about over there, because he holds that the limb is not considered attached. He says that basically what it is that it's not the animal as a whole is not considered a yab. It's not considered a handle. for that particular ava. We'll learn later on. And however I write this, we'll talk about this concept that not only food, but also the stalks or whatever that are attached to them that are used as a handle to handle them are also able to be mekabel-tumah. He holds that the animal and the limb are not considered connected enough for one to be a yad for the other.
Rav Shimon.
Be that as it may, the point is that the point is though that
that's why he says.
Well, so therefore, so the point is though that both Rav Shimon and Rav Meir seem to be accepting the idea that it doesn't have Tumas Nevela, because if it had Tumas Nevela, there's nothing to talk about being Machshu at the Kabbal Tumah. It itself is a source of Tumah. To be Machshu at the Kabbal Tumah implies that it itself is not Tumah. But
it's
if it's not a Nevela, exactly. If it was a Nevela, then there's nothing to talk about.
A Nevela, you're saying that word doesn't have to be Muksha.
Doesn't have to be Muksha, because it itself is a source of Tuma. Food that is going to become Tome has to be Muksha, right. So the point is, therefore, so Rabba says to Rav Chista, instead of asking from a Braita, ask from that Mishnah, where we see that both Rav Meir and Rav Shimon accept the underlying principle that this limb is, that the Avraham Adoldol is not Tomei Tumas Nevela, because you shechted the animal as a whole, and that would contradict what they're sending from Eretz Yisrael, that in this case, where the leg was broken, that the leg will actually be Tomei Tumas Nevela.
So why are you asking
from a Braita, which Braitas are not so well known? Better ask from the Mishnah. The answer is Omalei. Rav Chista answers him, fine, but Masnissin ik l'dechuyi k'dedachinan. Sure, but the proof from the Mishnah, we already brought that Mishnah earlier on Ayin Gimel, and we discussed it, and we said not necessarily is that what the Mishnah means. We said maybe the Mishnah is talking about, when we're talking about whether it's Muksha L'Kabal Tumah, we're not talking about the limb as a whole, we're talking about a piece of flesh that was separated from that limb. Where if the limb is considered Eva Min Achai, then you need a complete thing with meat and bones and gibim in order for it to be Mechame. As opposed to if you say it's Nevela, then any Tzayis of it is. So maybe the Mishnah might be implying over there it is still considered Eva Min Achai. You could argue that Shchita Oisin Nipul, but you would say, therefore, that's considered it fell off while the animal was alive. So it's not Nevela, it's Eva Min Achai, but Eva Min Achai, you would need a complete thing, boss of a Gidim Vatsomis to be Mechame. So not necessarily is that
part of the,
if you have an Avraham Adoldol as a whole, which separated from the animal, and then later on a piece of meat was taken off that piece of meat, you could argue, you could say Rav Meir and Rav Shimon are arguing that that particular piece of meat need Hechsher L'Kabal Tumah, because now it doesn't have the Tumah of Avraham Achai anymore, because only as a complete Aver, it's Matame, but as a piece of meat, it's not, because you need Basa V'Gidim Ba'atomis, as opposed to if it was in Nevela, then not. So not necessarily is that Mishnah a proof against the idea of shchita in oisin nipple. So rather, therefore, Rav Chista says, I didn't bother bringing a contradiction from that Mishnah because the Bnei Eretz Yisrael could answer that you can understand the Mishnah differently. Therefore, instead, I brought a contradiction from the Braita that we had before about Rav Meir and the Chachamim with the argument about whether about Shchita Strefa and the Avraham Adoldol, where there it says clearly that Shchita Strefa is Metaher the Avraham Adoldol, which is not like they're saying now that the halacha would be that it is Metaher Metaher.
In the case of the Adoldol, the Mishnah, it's not necessarily Matame.
Not necessarily is it, does it, not, right, not necessarily is an individual piece of it, right.
Because
maybe it's considered Eva Min Achai. You could say maybe it's considered Nevela, but maybe not. Maybe it's only considered Eva Min Achai. And as Eva Min Achai, to be Matame, you would have to have a complete piece, boss of the Gidim Batsamos, and you don't have that, because it's only an individual piece of meat. Not so, therefore, it's a suffix, but therefore, the Mishnah can be saying that Rav Meir and Rav Shimon are saying that piece is considered only Eva Min Achai. Now that the limb as a whole is only considered Eva Min Achai, the piece that came off it is only considered Boso HaPodesh from Eva Min Achai. It's not Metame on its own, therefore it needs Hechsher to be Metabel Tumah. And the argument is, was it Mukhsher through the Shchita or not? But not necessarily is that Mishnah taking any position on the question of, position on the question of Shchita or Itin Nipol or not. But the Braita is clearly saying that.
So the Braita
said. The Braita said that Rav Meir said that the Shchita of a Tereper is Matahar, the Avraham Adoldol. Not like they're sending from Eretz Yisrael saying that according to Rav, that the halacha not only would be like Rav, but the animal is Tereper, but also that the animal would be, but also that the limb would be Matahar, Tumas Nevela. It seems like not.
Yes,
okay.
The opposite.
Yeah, that's good. So continue.
Sorry,
yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. So Solik Reb Zeira, later on, when Reb Zeira moved from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, after Chelet Reb Yumi Ba'aba, actually, he found Reb Yumi Ba'aba, the Yosef HaKamala Lahoshmaita, that he was sitting and saying over this statement of Rav, that Reb Yumi Ba'aba, having been a Talmud of Rav, that he's saying over his Rebbe's teaching, that if the break was above the joint, and if there wasn't boser, there wasn't most of the boser, it's not really boser kayim, that not only the limb is also, but the whole animal is also, because it's safe. Amalei, and so Reb Zeira tells him, Yishar, well said, Yeshakoyach, v'chein tirgum aryeich b'bavel. And you should know that aryeich also explained it that way in Babel. Who is aryeich? Aryeich manu Shmuel. So the question is, who is aryeich? That is a nickname for Shmuel. But we'll talk about in a second why he called that. But first, let's finish the conversation. The question is, what are you telling me that Shmuel said this? Well, Miflag Polig. We just said before that Shmuel argued. Rav had said that if the break is above the joint and Roy Boster is not Kayim and the animal is Tereif, Shmuel disagreed and said only the limb is Tereif. So what is Rav Zeira saying that Shmuel said so also? The answer is Hodr be Shmuel agabe de Rav. Okay, but Shmuel changed his mind and ended up agreeing with Rav.
Oh.
Yes. Now, and the halacha
is...
So therefore, the whole animal would be traced in that case.
Right.
Now, why is Shmuel called Aryeich? So Rashi says, you have a king mentioned in Chumash, Aryeich Melech Halosso, one of the four kings who fought against Sodom. And therefore, so Shmuel is called a king. He's called Aryeich in recognition of the fact that the halacha is always like him in Dinei Mominus. You have various other, there's a wide doctor that they choose Aryeich, so you have in a few other places in Shas where also it mentions that Shmuel is called Aryeich. Rashi gives different explanations, related, somewhat different explanations in those various places. One of them is that the word Aryeich itself is related to the word Richa, which means a king. So the name, so not only is the name of a king, but the name itself actually implies kingship. Also, there's the idea it's related to the Tosfos talks about someplace, that it's related, that it also has in it the word Ari, as in a lion, also representing like the kingship of Malchus based David, and also all also representing his greatness and his prowess in Dinei Mominus. And in particular, there's an idea, I think the Seder Adurus brings it, brings it in the name of Rashi and Tosfos, although we don't seem to actually find it in our Rashi and Tosfos, that not only that, it's also this Aryeich we're saying over here was the king of Elosser. That's the name of the place. But Elosser is also, we can break it down and make a drush out of it as if it's Al Osser, not when it comes to Isurim, because when it comes to Dinei Isur V'Heter, the halacha is not like Shmuel. So Shmuel is Aryeich, he's the king, but not Al Osser, but not when it comes to Isur V'Heter, only when it comes to Dinei Mamre. Al is okay. Chiddush Aran brings it. Okay. It comes up in different places. Comes out different mechorim should talk about. I don't remember that it was from Chiddush Aran, but okay. There are some people in the last 150 or so years who write various things along the lines of that Aryeich was a nickname of the king of Persia and Babel at that time. General history calls him Ardashir, but he also apparently had the nickname Aryeich, and therefore, like, they're calling Shmuel that, like, they're calling him by the name of the contemporary king. Okay, whatever it is, anyway, so...
There's
a Goyish king, but still, the same way as we actually find in a few places in Shas, where Shmuel is called Shavur Malka, where there it's clearly after the name of the contemporary king, the king Shavur of Persia, so the same thing the argument is that maybe Aryeich is the same kind of thing.
Let's say he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's complimentary. Why not? Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Turn it up on him. We learn in a braisa. Nishbar ha'esim v'yotza l'chutz. Okay. So now let's talk about the details of this din. So far, we've been talking about the basic idea that if a bone is broken and you don't have roiv boser kayim, so we talked about when the limb is also as a whole, when the limb is also versus when the limb is mutter, when the animal is also versus when the animal is also. So we said, according to Rav, which ends up being the halacha, especially since Shmuel ended up agreeing with him, that if the break is above, that if the break is above the joint, above the akova, and there's not roiv boser kayim, then the whole thing is straight. If it's below, when it's above the akuba and there's not roiv boser kayim. But whereas if there is roiv boser kayim, everything will be mutter. And if it's below the joint, that's when you'll have that if there's roiv boser kayim, the joint will be mutter. And if not, then the joint will be, then not the joint, the limb, whatever, will be
awesome. Above the akuba, when there's...
No roiv boser kayim, the whole thing, everything is awesome. Roiv boser kayim, everything is mutter. Below the...
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's below the joint, then it can be that then the animal is not going to be traced, but it's either the animal, either the limb is also the limb is.
Then the limb is also right.
If the bone is broken and it's sticking out of the flesh, so it's a compound fracture. So if skin and flesh are covering most of it, mutter, then it is mutter. Imlav also, and if not, then it will be also. Also, the whole animal will be also, or the limb will be also, as the case may be. The kama ruboy. Now, what do we mean by roiv? He also Rav Gimi, Amar Rav Yechanan, roiv ovyoy. When Rav Gimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained in the name of Rav Yechanan, it means most of the thickness. Now, what does that mean? Others say that no, what it actually is roiv hakefai, most of the circumference. And Amar Papa, and therefore the Papa says, because we're not sure, therefore we have to be machmer and we have to have roiv ovye and roiv hakefai. Now, what do we mean by roiv ovye and roiv hakefai? Rashi explains like this. Roiv ovye means, so you have the broken end of the bone. Most of that, roiv ovyoy would mean that would have to be that most of the that only a minority of the broken end of the bone is exposed. Most of it is covered by the flesh. That would be roiv ovyoy. Roiv hakefoy would be, on the other hand, roiv hakefoy would be that it doesn't matter about the thickness of the bone. We look at, Rashi says, the circumference, the flesh that surrounds the bone, and you see if most of that flesh is intact. So if we say roiv hakefoy, it would come out that even if the actual broken end of the bone is sticking out of a small hole, then it will be kosher. On the other hand, if you have most of the circumference of the bone is exposed, then according to that opinion of roiv hakefa, it would be tricked. So here's some pictures. Yaakov, I don't know why you're sitting all the way over there. Come over here. Okay. All right. Fine. According to Rashi, roiv ovyo means like this: that you have that most of the thickness of roiv ovyo would be according to Rashi that you only have a small part of the width of the bone sticking out. Most of it is still within the flesh. So according to the opinion, roiv ovyo, then that would be good enough. Roiv hakefoy would mean it doesn't really matter how much of the bone is sticking out or not. It depends whether most of the exposed end of the bone is covered or not. That would be roiv hakefoy. So that's how Rashi understands.
Roiv ovyo
means the thickness, and roiv hakefoy means the circumference of it. Right. Most of the other Rishonim actually have a different understanding of it, which is, and Tosfos points this out, for example, most bones are not circular in cross-section. They're oval. Some of them even come to a point at one end. So roiv ovye and roiv hakefoy, therefore, have to do with, you can have, roiv ovye would be most of the thickness, but you could have most of the thickness covered with flesh without having roiv hakefoy, most of the circumference. If you were to measure around the circumference, in this case, for example, you don't have most of the circumference covered, but you do have most of ovye, most of the thickness of it, and vice versa. You could have the other way around also. So Rav Papa is telling us you need roiv ovye and roiv hakefoy to be on the safe side.
So you need... Oh,
yeah. So you need, in other words, you'd need, let's say, for example, this plus, you'd need, for example, this thick area over here plus some running up one of the sides over here.
Right.
So that way it's for sure covered, roiv ovye and roiv hakefoy, no matter how you look at it. Yeah. Okay.
So it's the circumference.
According to Rashi, roiv ovye and roiv hakefoy are talking two different issues.
Right.
The exposed surface of the bone versus the circumference of it. According to everybody else, both of them are referring to the circumference, but one is referring to the circumference of the thick part, and the other is referring to the majority of the circumference. Okay, let's go on. Ula says in the name of Rav Yechanan that for this purpose, skin is considered like flesh. So if you have the flesh is missing around this break, but you have skin, but you have skin around it, then that would be good enough, as long as you have skin covering the Rav Ovya and Rav Hakeva. Amalei Rav Nachman La'ula, so Rav Nachman asks Ula, why are you saying that, it sounds like you're saying that skin by itself is good. Why don't you say actually that skin can combine together with flesh? In other words, that you need at least half of it to be covered with flesh, and then the other half can be covered only with skin, which would be a chumrah. Because after all, our Mishnah used the expression skin and flesh. So what are you telling me? That skin by itself would be enough. Amalei, so Ula answers, Anan yes, but we in Eretz Yisrael learned this braisa before that mentioned Ur-U-Basar. We in Eretz Yisrael learned that it actually says Ur-Oy-Basar. So either one, according to us, a covering of skin, as long as it's Rav Ovya or Rav Hakeifa, as the case may be, will be enough even if there's no flesh there. Okay. Ikadamri, another version of the discussion goes like this. Omar Ula Omar Rabbi Yechanan, Ur Mitzadif Labasar, that, according to the second version, yes, Ula in the name of Rabbi Yechanan agrees that you can't have only flesh. It is true that you can only have skin. You do have to have some flesh over there. But he says, Ur Mitzadif Labasar, which would imply that you could have half and half. You could have half of the broken bone covered with flesh and the other half only with skin. But why don't we say l'chumra that you should say that you need mostly flesh, and then a minority of the remaining part can be covered with skin only. Where are you getting to be so makel that if it's half if you need, let's say, again, you know, if we're talking in order to have Rav Ovya and Rav Hakeifa, let's say, for example, you need, I don't know, 5 inches to go around the majority of Ovya and Hakeifa. So let's say you're telling me, Ula, that if you have 2.5 inches of Basar and 2.5 of Ur, that'll be good enough. Why would it be good enough? Why wouldn't we think that you need at least 3 of Basar and then another 2 can be of Ur? Amalei, so Ula answers, I'm not Ovya Yadina. Okay, but I can tell you, I have a practical case that I can tell you that I know about where we see from it that skin counts even if it's as much as half. Dahu bagoizla, because there was a young pigeon. Bagoizla means a little pigeon. To have a bay Rabbi Yitzchak, which was in the house of Rabbi Yitzchak, where its leg was broken, it had a compound fracture. The Ermitstadif Labasar Hava, you had a case over there where you had half of the necessary covering was with flesh, and the other half was with skin. So it was exactly half and half. But also the Kameh de Rabbi Yechanan, so he came to Rabbi Yechanan to ask Shiloh, but actually, and Rabbi Yechanan told him it's kosher. So you see that half and half is good. Amalei, so Rabbi Nachman tells him that's no proof. Bagoizla, comrade. You're talking about a case of a young pigeon. Bagoizla, the rock is shiny. Well, a young pigeon is different. Its skin is soft, so therefore its skin can count as if it was flesh. You can't necessarily prove from that a larger animal
has to do with the skin being soft.
Because the point is, what's the reason why if most of the fracture is covered with flesh, then the animal is not safe and the limb itself is not also? The reason is because eventually it'll heal. So the idea then would be if you only have hard skin over it, it doesn't adhere strongly to the bone, therefore it's not going to help healing, therefore it's not going to help in the healing. But with a young bird where the skin itself is soft, then yeah, it sticks strongly to the bone, and yeah, it can still help in the healing. So now what it is actually the actual halacha is that. First of all, now you have parts of the legs where you really only have skin anyway. On the bottoms of the legs, right above the hooves, you don't really have flesh there. Really, pretty much all you have is skin and directly on the bone. So there, skin by itself helps because that's the normal way it is, and therefore it's going to heal. It'll heal with that. Anywhere else, you do need, as Rav Nachman is saying, you do need mostly flesh, and then you can have some skin to help out with it.
When you say large. If they're missing,
what?
They're missing the wings. Yeah,
if they're missing their wings, they're still kosher as long as you don't have any problems of the lungs being punctured. But what's that got to do with anything?
Now
we're talking about the legs.
Now
we're talking about the legs. Yeah, all this time, in this whole sugya over here, we're dealing with trephus, and here in particular, the fractures of the hind legs. And in the case of a bird, those are the only legs. It doesn't have one leg.
If it's missing a leg,
that's what we're saying. In other words, so we're talking about, is it broken above the joint or below it? And if it's below the joint, then it depends. If Roy Bosser Kayim, then, or in this case, also, the, in this case, then, below the aqua, below the ankle joint, in the end, the halacha is like Rav. What we said, Rav will say in that case. No, Shmuel changes opinion in favor of Rav.
Okay.
Yeah, so therefore, if the break is below the joint, then if Roy Basakayim were all good, and if in Roy Basakayim that particular part will be Osir, but the rest will be Mutter.
Right.
If it's above the Akuba, then you have, unless the Roy Basakayim, the whole thing is straight.
Right,
in other words, the point is, above the Akuba, we're saying it's essential to the animal that the leg should be able to heal, and if not, then...
Yeah, Akuba, we said it's second joint.
We said not the knee joint, the ankle joint. The ankle joint.
The ankle joint.
Okay. Right. Fine. Another case. Hanu Gidin Rakin, the also Kame the Rabba, or the Rabba, it says on the side of it here. There was a case like this, where you had a broken bone on an animal or a bird or what have you, and you had part of the circumference of the area of the broken area where you again mean a majority of the circumference or whatever, part of that was made up of soft gidin. So again, gidin might mean tendons, like we had before, as far as the terms of gidin might mean blood vessels, might mean nerves, whatever it is. The pashtus over here, since we're talking about them hardening, the pashtus we're talking about tendons. So you had the case was part of the circumference, part of the necessary circumference that was covered was covered not with regular flesh, but rather with gizzard, with tendons. But they were soft. So that's the question. Therefore, do they count? So the case was brought to Rava or Rava to ask them what the name is. Amar Rava l'may leichus, who's the Rava, or Rava says, what do we need to be concerned about? There should be no problem. Obviously, it should be kosher. Because right now they're soft. Chada de Amar Rav Yechanan Gidin Shesofen Lahakshet Nimnin Alein BePesach. Number one, we find in a different context as far as the halachas of the Korban Pesach that Rav Yechanan says that when you have like that Gidin tendons or whatever that eventually in an adult animal are going to become hard, but now because the Pesach is a baby animal, it's a yearling sheep or a yearling goat, then therefore you're able, Nimnin Alein BePesach, you're allowed to register for the Korban Pesach having in mind that you're going to eat them. It has to be. When you register for the Korban Pesach, it has to be you're going to be eating at least the kezias of the meat. So if you register and the deal is that the part they're going to give you for your kezias is going to be only these gidin, Rabbi Yechanan says that's fine. I, in an adult animal, they're inedible because they're too hard. No problem. Here it's not an adult animal. It's a yearling animal. Therefore, it's kosher. So by the same logic, Rava is saying these gidin should be considered like flesh because right now they're soft in this animal.
In a young animal.
But oid, and not only that, Rava says there's another reason to argue that it should be mutter. HaTorah chasal mamon and trei Yisrael. We have a general rule that the Torah is cautious about Jewish money. We shouldn't cause a loss where it's not actually necessary. So over here, when we have reason to argue that it is mutter because they're soft gidin, then why shouldn't we do that? Yeah. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rabba, so Rav Papa says to Rabba, or again, l'Rava. The Pashtus, I guess this is why on the side of it here, it changes the gears to Rava. Because Rav Papa, we don't ever find talking with Rabba. Rav Papa is the next generation after Rava.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, on the side of it here. The Pashtus, he wasn't old enough yet to be arguing, to be discussing things with Rabba in the previous generation. Well, Rabba is one of the Rebbes of Rava, and Rava in turn is the Rebbe of Rav Papa. So Rav Papa may have been just a young kid or whatever, yeah, two generations later. He was a young kid or whatever in Rava's time. But in Rava's times already, he's a Talmud. Anyway, so Rav Papa asks Rava, what do you mean? First of all, Rav Shimon Lakish, number one, you have the opinion of Rish Lakish, who argues with Rav Yochanan on that and says that you cannot register for such gidin, because even though right now they're soft, in an adult animal they wouldn't be soft, and therefore even in a baby animal they're not considered meat. So you can't register having in mind that you're going to eat those. So number one, you have that opinion against Rav Yechanan. Number two, the Isura Daraita. And number two, here you're dealing with an Isura Daraita because we're talking over here about an issue with Tereses. Fine, that's not the point. The point is that here we're talking about an Isura Daraita. If these gidin don't count as flesh, then you have a Teresa animal. You're telling me why should we be concerned? Of course you have what to be concerned about. First of all, Rav Yechanan is not the only opinion about it. And second of all, you have a Sofet Daraita over here.
Between
Rish
Lakish and your Rebbe.
One second.
Yes?
Hold on. The answer is, so the answer is Ishtik. Indeed, Rava was quiet. He couldn't say an answer to that. So the question is, why was he quiet? Well, we find that Rava himself says in Yevamos that the halacha is like Rabbi, that in general, yes, when Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish argue, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, except for only three places where the halacha is like Rosh Lakish, and this isn't one of them. So therefore, why is Rava not answering Rapapa? Let him answer very simply. The halacha is not like Rosh Lakish over here, so therefore I've got nothing to worry about.
He didn't know?
No, what do you mean he didn't know? He himself is saying the halacha is like Rosh Lakish only in three cases. The answer is shiny hocha. It's different in this case. Because actually, Rabbi Yechanan himself ended up changing his mind about this business of Gidin Harakin and ended up agreeing with Rish Lakish. Now, how do we know that he did, and they, which is relevant as far as the Korban Pesach, but therefore it's also relevant over here to our din. And how do we know that? Because we have like this. Later on, again, when we get to Perek Over HaRotev, the ninth Perek of our Masechtah, we're going to be talking about a similar concept. You have things that are in a baby animal are soft, and in a grown-up animal are hard. And the question is, do they count as meat as far as the dinim of Tumas Oichel? So one example over there is, let's say you have the skin of the head of a young calf. So the Mishnah says over there that skin, even though eventually it's going to become hard and not really edible, but because the animal is now a baby and therefore that skin is soft, therefore it counts as food as far as Tumas Oichlin. So what happens? But Rabbi Yochanan has a discussion over there with Rish Lakish, where Rish Lakish asks him this question: is this skin matame or not? And Rabbi Yochanan tells him it's not. And he says the Amalei. So he says, what about that Mishnah? Al Taknitani, don't provoke me. In other words, don't think to ask me from that Mishnah. Shavloshin Yochid ani Shona Oisa, because my version of that Mishnah is that it's only a Lashon Yachid, that it's only according to Reb Shimon. In other words, Reb Yochanan's version of the Mishnah actually, from Rashi it sounds like that Reb Yochanan's text of the Mishnah was the same as ours, that it didn't have the name of a Tana attached to it, but Reb Yochanan said, I happen to know that it's according to Reb Shimon. Tosfos says that's still not what it means. So Rabbi Yochanan would still have to say, Alacha Kastam Mishnah. No, what it means is, Tosfos says, Rabbi Yochanan's version of the Mishnah, his text of the Mishnah, actually said that these kinds of skins are metame-like flesh, divrei Reb Shimon. So therefore, it's only a daf yachin. So we see from that Rabbi Yochanan holds now, that after all, that this whole concept of things that were soft and then became and then eventually are going to become hard do not count as food as far as Tumas Oichlin. Therefore, they wouldn't count as far as the Korban Pesach either. You couldn't register for the Korban Pesach having in mind you wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah of Korban Pesach by eating those. And therefore, relevant to our case over here, because this whole concept that things that now are soft and later on are going to become hard, that they are considered like flesh and are metamed Tumas Oichlin, that's only a Das Yochid, says Rabbi Shimon, meaning the Chachamim disagree with him. So therefore, in other words, they would hold it's not Mitamet Shomas Oichlin, because eventually it's going to become hard. So therefore, applying that to the Korban Pesach, it means those Gidin are not considered food. You can't be Yotze eating the Korban Pesach by eating them. Applying it to our case over here, it means they don't count towards the majority, towards the Roy Vosser that there needs to be there in order for the bone to heal and the animal not to be chosen. Okay. Another case. So therefore, there's the answer. Therefore, so Rava had thought to say that no problem, the soft gidin can count towards the majority, and Rav Papa is telling him no, based on what Rabbi Yochanan holds, you shouldn't say that. Okay. Another case. Hahu nishbar ha'esem v'yotel achutz. There was a case of a bone that was broken and part of it is sticking out, a compound fracture again, yeah. But here you have the twist is the ishtiko kurtisa mine. Now on top of that, a piece of the bone itself actually broke off and fell off. So not only, in other words, you had the ishtiko that was taken away, kurta, a small piece, mine from it. So the question is, according to Rashi, the question is, does that make things worse now? Would we say now that, maybe we would have said before that it's kosher as long as it has roi vosser, but maybe now that a piece of the actual bone is missing, then that makes it worse? The Balamur learns, actually, and the Ran also brings this, and then a couple of other Rishonim bring that maybe it's the other way around. The question may be, suppose that you have, with that piece of bone there, there wouldn't have been Rov Basar. You wouldn't have had most of the Rov Ovia and Rov Hakefa covered. Now that piece broke off, you have less circumference there, therefore now you have enough Rov Basar to cover it. So the question would be, would that help now? Is it?
No, technically it shouldn't help.
Well, that's the question.
Because there's a bone missing.
Well, again, it's not the whole bone is missing. There's a piece of bone missing.
Yeah.
Well, that's again, according to the Baal HaMor, the question is maybe now we have reason to be makel, because maybe before we didn't have enough to cover Rov Ovia and Rov Hakefa, right? Because you had the bone itself was intact, but now with a piece of it missing, now the remaining buster is enough to cover Rov. So therefore,
that might have been after the break.
Obviously, it's after the break, but nevertheless, the question is it maybe good enough to make it mutter after all? Because now, with the bone in the condition that it's in, with a piece broken off, there is Roy Buster around it. Maybe that'll be enough for it to heal. So, again, according to Rashi, though, the question is, should we be machmir? Should we say that a piece...
I mean, scientifically, it will not heal when it protrudes.
Not that it won't heal at all. No, if it's protruding, then it can heal. It'll just be much more difficult because it's much more likely to get infected. But if we have Roy Buster, then...
Sure to get infected.
Okay, but nevertheless, if you have Roy Buster, then it'll have... If you have Roy Buster, then it'll be able to overcome that. Okay. Also, maybe the point is that if there's Roy Buster, then at least you're able to set the fracture and then it'll heal. If you don't have Roy Buster, then you don't have enough flesh around it for it to be able to heal before. Okay, maybe that's another way. Okay, anyway. So the question is, again, so you have this piece missing. The question is now, what's the deal? Also, a Kameda Abaya, so the case was brought to Abaya, and Abaya himself wasn't sure what to do. Shaya Tlosa Rigli. So he held over the din for three regalim. Because like this, you have the chachamim would come to the yeshiva for the regalim. Three regalim. And Bahashas would be Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Well, it could be less than a year. It could be from Pesach. Could be from Pesach to Sukkot. Pesach to Sukkot is only half a year. But anyway, the point is, Shlosh regalim, new Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. That's not a whole year. From Pesach to Sukkot is 6 months. Anyway, the point is he held it over for three regalim because he wasn't sure what to do. He wanted to ask the chachamim who assemble over there for the shalosh regalim. There is actually a different explanation, which is actually, we mentioned earlier in our Masechta, when we also mentioned Shlosh Rigli over there. We said over there, Rashi brings at the end of Yevamos that Rigli over here may also mean your sites of great Tamar Chachamim, where the Chachamim would assemble over there to learn Torah and the schus of the Nifter and whatever. So in that case, also Rigli could mean over here three such occasions, three your sites, in which case there weren't necessarily six or eight or whatever months apart.
Whatever
it is, the point is Abaya wasn't sure, so he was waiting. Amalei of Adarba Masna, said of Adarba Masna, tells the person who has the Shaila, Zil Kameh de Rava Breder of Yosef Achama, instead of waiting by Abaya, go ask Rava, the son of Rav Yosef Achama. This is the regular Rava in Shas. I guess at that point he wasn't so well known yet, so he had to be identified by his father's name. The Harifa Sakine, because his knife is sharp. In other words, he's a sharp person. He has, as Rashi says, Leif Pasuach Leif Svara. He has his heart is open. He has very good svaras. Like this, the Torah Chaim says. In other words, the point is, instead of waiting on Abaya, or that he doesn't know the answer and he has to wait for the Chachamim to help him figure it out, go to Rav and he'll know the answer right away. Also, so sure enough, this person came to Rav to ask the Shaila. Omar and Rava, sure enough, answers it right away. Mechti nishbara esem yotel chotznan, tanya, rather. After all, the Braisa had said that if the bone is broken and it's sticking out, so therefore, mali nofa, mali ise. So what does it make a difference whether a piece fell off or not? Either way, as long as you have orobosa chopin asurba, then you're good. In other words, the fact, according to Rashi, again, the point is, just because a piece fell off doesn't make things any worse than it was before. As long as you have Oda Bosa Chofen Asurubai, then you're good. And we don't care about the fact that a piece of it broke off. According to the Baal HaMor's explanation, I guess what it would be is that I didn't look up to see what he explains about this part of the question. But here, let's see. So the answer is, according to the Baal HaMor, it came out, what is it? Since if that piece was there, it would be also, then the fact that piece fell off doesn't make things any better. So therefore, according to Rashi, it comes out
with
the piece, there was no coverage. Without it, there is. So the Baal Amar learns. Therefore, that would mean it's also now, because according to Rashi, it would be the other way around. The fact that the piece fell off, as long as you had Orubasa, Chofinus, Rube beforehand, and now you still do, then fine. The piece falling off doesn't make it any worse. Okay.
What is it?
So you have two different opinions of Rishonim. Okay. So, yeah. So it depends. So the bottom line is, if you don't have Orubasa, Chofinus, Rube before the piece fell off, and now it does, then that doesn't help, like the Baal Amar says. But if you had coverage before, and then the piece, the falling off doesn't make it any worse. Yeah. Like Rashi says. Okay.
So if you didn't have the full coverage before the piece fell off,
then the piece falling off doesn't help you anything.
I'm
going to
be good for the two.
For what?
He was here, how could he be good for three of them? Either he cured it
or
animal could have lived.
Yeah, so either one is possible, or a trace can live 12 months. So, yeah.
So, as you said, it could have been 6 months.
Amalei Ravina LaRabba. So now Ravina asks Rabba. Okay, now we established that you need Orubasa Chofinus Rubai. But now let's talk about what if that buster itself is not really in such good shape. First of all, Mislaket Mahu. What would be the din if you don't have a complete coverage of flesh in one area around the circumference? You have a little here, a little there.
Mislaket,
like if you gathered it all together. If you gather it all together, then you could count it up and it would come out to the circumference. But it's like a piece here or a piece there or whatever. So would that work? Also, misroisis mahu, what would be another din if that what would be the din if that flesh that's covering it is really thin and like spread out? It's not that it doesn't have the thickness of normal flesh. Not tense so much, but like it's thinner than normal. Merudah v'kolish, it's stretched out, right. Okay, what about another case? Mismasnis mahu. What about another case? What if it was mismasnis? What if that flesh itself is decaying? And the Gemara interjects, heichidam mismasnis. How decayed is mismasnis, that there would even be a problem? And the answer is, Amar Rav Huna b'Rebbe Yehoshua, as we had a similar definition in the previous paragraph, kol shehu roifeh kodrei. Any where it's decayed to the point where a doctor, if he's trying to heal a person or an animal, would cut away this flesh because of disease, then that's considered that it doesn't count. Then it doesn't count. It doesn't necessarily count. But then you have the question whether it covers or not. That's the question. Does it count towards the coverage or not? Right. Okay. Iboilahu. Now we have some more questions. Nikav mahu. What would happen if that flesh itself, if the flesh itself was pierced? So here you have coverage. You have roi rebosser, but you have oi rebosser chofen, but you have a hole in that flesh. Does that prevent it from doing its job? What about nikras mahu? What about if it's peeling off the bone? So it's over here. It's there, but it's not actually firmly attached to the bone. Or what about nistak mahu? What about if it's cracked? What about if the flesh itself is cracked? Also nikal shlisha tachton mahu. What happens if the lower third of it was removed? So you have the skin below it, you have the flesh, and then you have the lowest layer of the flesh was removed and is not there. So therefore, it's like it's still on top of the bone, but it's not actually sticking closely to it. So in all those cases, what would be the din? Tashma the ama ula amar Rav Yechanan toiv harehu kabasa. Okay, but we said before, Ula said in the name of Rav Yechanan, that skin is like flesh. So there's your answer, therefore. So at least you can answer, therefore, that if the shlisha tachton is missing, you have the skin over there, so therefore it ought to be good. You have the skin, you even have part of the flesh, so therefore it ought to be good enough. On the other hand, the Gemara says, no. Dilma de konamashcha didei. Maybe that's only talking about where the skin is holding on to its own thing. And that's what I was mentioning before, that you have on the bottom part of the leg, you don't really have flesh there. You really just have skin right on top of the bone. Maybe that's where Ola is saying that it's good enough if you have skin only.
The flesh is missing, but the skin not?
No, in other words, towards the bottom of the leg, you don't really have a lot of flesh there anyway. You basically just have skin.
Yeah.
And then directly below it is the bone. Right. So the kona mashcha didei, the mashcha, which means the skin, kona acquired didei what belongs to it. So when the bone and the skin are naturally adhered to each other anyway, then you could say that skin is good enough over there because that's the natural way the leg comes. Not necessarily does that show for our case over here where part of the thickness of the flesh that's supposed to be there is missing. Not necessarily can you prove that from Ola's statement.
So in other words,
we can't be sure. So we can't be sure. Just because you have flesh over here, just because you have skin over here, doesn't necessarily show that it's enough. Okay. So So far, we're not sure yet. Yeah, by the way, there are some who are showing him we have a bit of a different GUSA over here, which amounts to their GUSA is slightly different. I forgot the exact GUSA, but it boils down to that they say what it means is when you see that there start developing connections between the bone and the skin over there, then you can talk about that it's starting to heal. But like this, we don't see any evidence of that yet. Amar Rav Ashi ki avinon beira papi. So now Rav Ashi says when we would buy the Shiva of Rav Ashi, the Shiva of Rav Papi, right? He boiled on. We had another question. Nikta kamin kabas mahu. What happens if it was cut around like a wig? Meaning, in other words, that you have, that's what it is. Toisus wing. Dekonim mishchi virei. Not didei, but virei. Dekonim mishchi virei. That the bone holds on with spittle-like things to the skin. In other words, that you see the skin is starting to, that you see the bone is starting to heal. Dekonim mishchi virei would be the gear set.
The
way we translated dekonim mishchi didei means that the skin holds on to it. To what belongs to it, and in the bone, the konam mishka rirei would mean that you start seeing that there are fibrous attachments developing between the broken bone and the skin. Then you could say it works, but not when you don't have that yet. Okay. Anyway, so Rashi is saying, "Ki avinon beira papi." When we were in the yeshiva of the papi, iboilon, we had a question as follows: Nikta kmin tabas mahu. What would happen if the skin? What would happen? Not the skin, the flesh that's supposed to be covering the break. What if it was cut? What if it was cut from above the break like a wing? So you have like this, in other words, that you have there's a piece of it covering the broken part, but then around that you have the flesh around that was cut away. Is that piece that's over there on the break going to be enough to be able to help it heal or not?
Why not?
So and we answered it. Upashatna meha. We answered it on the basis of what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab. That Rab says, I asked about this kind of case by the Chachamim and by the doctors. And they said, it can work because what you do is, what you do is you take that remaining flesh over there and you scratch it. The means the part that covers on the bone itself, yeah. You scratch it using a different bone, so you take a different piece of bone, scratch that bit of flesh over there, and that causes blood to come out of it, and therefore that promotes the healing. Therefore it ends up scabbing over and joining back together. So in other words, it would work. So you have that piece in the middle over there with a ring of empty with an empty ring around it. But good, you scratch that part with a bone to make it bleed, and therefore that itself will promote the healing because now you'll have blood will come out and it'll scab over, so it'll work, so it'll be kosher and within. And the Gemara points out, why dafka do you have to scratch it with a bone? Aval parzala, but if you were to do the same kind of thing using a metal tool, then it wouldn't work. Mizraf zoris, because then you're going then it makes it worse because then you make grooves in the flesh and that makes it even worse. Then it doesn't promote healing. Then it just makes it worse.
If you not
be scratched with bone, you scratch the flesh. You scratch the flesh, and then umutoshu moti dam, and then as Rashi says, because blood comes out of mischabra abosav nimshach zei tozeru mala arucha, then the flesh ends up joining back together, and so it heals. V'chein derech haroytum, and Rashi says that's how doctors do. But if you use a metal tool for that, then instead you're going to be cutting too deeply, and then therefore it's not going to work. Again, Rav Papa says this only works when we see that the bone is holding on to what it's supposed to be holding on. In other words, that we see that it's actually holding on to that flesh and it's starting to heal. Or according to Tosfos' Girsa, dekona mashkarire, that you start seeing that there are fibrous attachments starting to develop between the bone and the flesh over there, then that works. But otherwise, not necessarily. Otherwise, it shows that healing is not starting, and then therefore the animal would be trased or the limb would be ulcerated, as the case may be.
Do you have to wait until the
abuse? So the pastor, you would have to wait until it starts the healing again. Yeah. Okay.
So you see that to determine whether or not it's treif or it's not treif, you need...
Sometimes you need doctors. Fine, sometimes, because in this case, we know the basic concept is a halacha, that if you have ora bosa chofinus ruba, it's good. We had a case about this corner case over here where we weren't sure. Okay. All right. Getting back now to the topic of...
Rove means the circumference.
It means Rove Ovia and Rove Hakeifa, which belongs to everybody else except Rashi, meant most of the circumference, including both the circumference of the thicker part and enough of the thinner part, right? Okay. Fine. Getting back now to unborn animals, which was the main subject of our parrot, a sheichet as a behemoth, the Mishnah says, if somebody shechs an animal, umata bashulya, and he finds inside the animal an amniotic sac, which is usually what the baby develops inside of. Nefesh, so first of all, the question is, are you allowed to eat it? Nefesh hayofa techlen. If a person is not fastidious, so like if he's easygoing, nefesh hayofa is sort of like a euphemism. It means like a person doesn't have a very nefesh hayofa, he's like a very crude person who'll eat anything, but it's a nice way of saying that he's not bothered by things. Techlen, then he's allowed to eat it. Because if he finds it disgusting, then you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat things that you find disgusting, balsashaktu. But if he doesn't find it disgusting, then you can eat it. Because again, it becomes mutter when you shechted the animal. The eidah matama lo tumas oichlin lo tumas nevelis. That amniotic sac is not matame tumas oichlin because not really considered food because most people wouldn't eat it, and also not tumas nevelis because not a nevelis. Or even if the animal had died, that's the point. Even if the animal had died without shechita, the rest of its body would be matame tumas nevelis, but the amniotic sac inside it would not. We're talking about the sac that a baby develops inside of. So you have the womb, and then you have within that you have a sac that develops during a pregnancy that the baby is inside that with all the amniotic fluid and all that. Yeah. So you're allowed to eat it. Yeah. You're allowed to eat it, but it's not really considered food. Therefore, it's not metamet chumas oichlin, and therefore even if the animal died, you're not allowed to eat it, but it doesn't have chumas nevela. On the other hand, chishev aldeha, if the person thought about it that he plans to eat it for food. Then the tamer tumas oichlin avalo tumas nevelis. Then tumas oichlin will apply to it because the fact that he thought to make it food makes it considered food. It makes it be considered food. Therefore, it's matamer tumas oichlin, but it still doesn't have tumas nevelis because it's not really flesh. It's not really considered part of the animal to that extent. Okay. Another din shulya shiyotsa miktasa. If a shulya, again an amniotic sac, partially came out, asura ba'achila, then it is also to eat. Now the reason is like this: if you're talking about an amniotic sac comes out and there's nothing inside it, there's no baby inside it, but as the Mishnah is going to tell us in a second, the fact that you had an amniotic sac means there was a baby in there. You don't see a baby, it means that it dissolved in the womb. But nevertheless, the problem is that when it starts coming out, the part that came out may be the part that had the head of the animal in it. We said before, earlier in the paragraph, that once the head of the baby is born, it's considered born la'alacha, and then therefore the mother's shchita is not matahar anymore. Now it needs its own shchita, according to everybody. So therefore, that's it. So now you can't eat the shulya.
It's not born. I mean, you haven't seen the animal.
Doesn't matter. The fact that one end came out, that end might have contained the head, and therefore it's considered already born. So therefore, it's a suspect. Therefore, you can't eat it. In fact, simen vlad ve'isha, the simen vlad ve'behemah. Finding a shulya is a sign, both with a woman and with an animal, that there was a baby over there. The Gemara elsewhere talks about the idea, ein shulya, phrases it differently, ein shulya below vlad. There's never an amniotic sac without there being a baby. Even if you don't find a baby now, it means that it dissolved. Okay, another case. Well, whatever, no, but the point is, whatever it is, the point is, that's it. Hamvakeres chi pilya shulya, here's another case. If you have...
Sometimes you do, by the way, have a shulya without a baby.
How so?
It's an incomplete pregnancy.
Even an incomplete pregnancy, you had a baby developing in there to the extent that there's, you know.
Okay,
how about you have an animal that has not yet given birth, where when it has its firstborn, hamvakeres means an animal that's giving birth to its first baby. It can also be a human mother. Simon Vlad Beisha, but Simon Vlad Behema, that a shulya is a sign both by a woman and by a behema that there was a baby there, which is relevant for a number of dinim. But now another din. I'm a vakeres, if you have an animal that is giving birth for the first time, and if that baby is a male, then it's going to have the din of a bechor, whether if it's a donkey or if it's a kosher animal, it's going to have the din of a bechor. Well, she pila shulya. In the end, what happened is she miscarried only an amniotic sac. There's no baby. Well, the question is, does that, again, is it a bechor? In other words, does it have the kedusha of a bechor? The answer is it does not, and therefore yashlichena leklavim, you're allowed to throw it to the dogs. Meaning, in other words, it's mutter b'hanah because there's no kedusha in it. for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain. You have first of all, you have a suffix whether it was a zohar or in a keva, and if it was in a keva, it's not a bechor anyway. And even with a zohar, there's a chance that it might not have been the kind of zohar that's considered a bechor, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. So therefore, the shilya is not considered to have any kedusha, and therefore you can throw it to the dogs or do whatever you want to do with it. Over mukdashin, on the other hand, if the same thing were to happen with an animal that was designated as a korban, let's say a shlamim, for example, a female animal, a shlamim, that miscarried an amniotic sac, well, there it does have kedusha because the mother has kedusha and the baby has kedusha as well. And so therefore, to cover, therefore you have to bury it. It's also bahanah. And by the way, the Mishnah says, since we're talking about burying an amniotic sac, the ein kovin and oath of a parashas zerachim, now you're not allowed to bury it by a crossroads, which was a practice that people did there in those times. Rashi says that people would do it as a superstitious thing, so that as a superstition, so that the animal shouldn't miscarry again. So you're not allowed to do that. The entolan oisabeilan, you're also not allowed to hang it on a tree, which was another superstitious thing they did for the same reason. If they doubt it, have murdered, because it's following in the ways of the emotim, which you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to. You know, it's not so much magic per se, but it's a superstitious practice, and you're not allowed to do that. We Jews are not allowed to follow superstitious practices. It's called Darkei Hamoedim.
The Emorim used to do.
The Emorim used to do such things. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Menahani Mili. Where do we know this that we said in the Mishnah that?
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. Okay. Minahani Mili. So where do we know this that we said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to eat the shulya if you're not nauseated by it? So the Tanur Rabbanan, because we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, Kol Behema Toichlu. Now the whole Pasuk, the Pasuk as a whole, goes to Bechol, Machrefis Pausa, Veshetat Shesa, etc., Babahema, Oisa Techelu, by taking some of the words from the Pasuk, Kol and Behema, or Bibehema, whatever, Techelu, it comes out, Lodabas Vashulya. It comes out to include that you're allowed to eat anything that you find in the animal, including a shulya. But it's in the animal, so the same way as a baby, you're allowed to eat with the mother's shchita, as we said before.
Yeah.
Was it in the womb? Then it's in the animal.
The womb is not the animal.
The womb is inside the animal. Come on. So if you check the animal and you find...
The animal is inside of the womb.
The mother animal has a womb, and in that womb is an amniotic sac. So therefore, the amniotic sac is inside the mother. It's called the behemoth. It's whatever is inside the behemoth. Therefore, you're allowed to. That comes to include that you're allowed to eat the shulya. Yachal afilu yotze miktsasa. You would think the same rule applies even if some of it came out, which we said in the Mishnah you can't eat it because it might be the head came out. Tamad lema oisa. No, but that same pasuk says oisa techelu, where oisa is a mute. Oisa velo shulyotze. You can only eat the animal itself, not its shulya. So the question is, mechti, now let's consider, we know, as we just said, ein shulya b'loy vlad. You never have a shulya without automatically, it means that there was a baby in it at some point. So, lomali cross. So why do we need a pasuk that in that case, that if it started coming out, you're not allowed to eat it? We said in the Mishnah why you're not allowed to, because the head may have come out, and once the head comes out, then the baby is considered born, and therefore that's reason enough to have to eat. You don't need a pasuk to tell us that. The answer is you're right. It's a lomali cross. The answer is you're right. Cross machta ba'alma. The fact that we're learning from the pasuk, from the word oisa, is only an asmachta. The basic concept that you can't eat the shulya is based on the suffix, because suffix are right to the chumra. We have the pasuk gives us an asmachta for that to strengthen that idea that the sack is also, but really ultimately it's also because of that suffix. Then we said in the mission of the Eina Matama, we said that the amniotic sac is not Matama Tumas Oichlin or Tumas Nevelus unless you had in mind to eat it, in which case then it's considered food. So, Boy Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachman. In this connection, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachman asks, Ur Chamor Shesholkoi Mavu. What would be the din of the skin of a donkey? The skin of a donkey, Rashi says, is very hard and very mucic, very disgusting. Obviously, for us Jews, it's also to eat anyway, because it comes from a donkey. But the question is, in any case, even for goyim, it would be something they would never consider edible. But if you cooked it a lot, shesholka, you cooked it a lot, so now it's softened, mahu, what would be the din of it? Shulka means that you cooked it a lot, you stewed it. So therefore, it became very soft. So now, what would be the din of it? So you can ask Lamai. As far as what din are you asking, as far as what halacha are you asking what the din of the skin would be?
Well, you're not allowed to eat it, so what else could it be?
One second. Ila Tumas Oichlin, if you're asking about whether it would have the din of Tumas Oichlin, is it considered food that it can become tame when a sheretz or what have you touches it? Well, Tadena. We learn a braisa. We learned a braisa that tells us about that, which we're going to quote in a second. Ila Tumas Nevela Tadena. And if you're asking if it still has Tumas Nevela, if you're asking if it has Tumas Nevela, is it considered like the flesh of the donkey that would be Matame Tumas Nevela? Also Tanena, we also have a braisa that tells us what the din would be. So what do we need to ask? Tumas Oichlin, we know about what the din would be as far as Tumas Oichlin with it, the Tanya, because we learn in a braisa. Or Vahashulia, the skin of an animal, or the amniotic sac of an animal, ain't Matame Tumas Oichlin. They are not Matame Tumas Oichlin. But the braisa continues, Ursha Shokai, but on the other hand, if you took the skin, which normally is hard, so therefore it's not food, and you cooked it for a long time, so now it's softened, it's edible more, Vashulya Shechishiv Aleha, or an amniotic sac that you had in mind, it itself is soft, so it could be eaten as is. It's just disgusting to most people, but if you had in mind that you're going to eat it, then Matamin Tumasoklin, then it does have Tumasoklin. So there's your answer. If you cooked the skin of the donkey, it should have the din of Tumasoklin.
Well, one second.
Tumas Nevelas Nami, Tanena. Also, as far as the question of Tumas Nevelas, we also have a braisa that tells us the answer, because a braisa says, Bini Vlosa, that the Pasuk says, if you touch the Nevela of a dead animal, then you become Tabe. That implies only if you touch the Nevela itself, Veloi Ba'or, not if you touch the skin, which is not part of the flesh of it, Veloi Ba'asamos, or the bones, Veloi Ba'gidin, or the Gidin, the tendons, or whatever.
You don't
become Tamei by touching those things. Veloi Ba'Karnayim, or the horn, if you touch the horns, Veloi Ba'Tlafayim, or the hooves. Ve'Omer Rabba Ba'Bachana, and Rabbi Baba Chana says, so what's the chiddush in that? What's the chiddush in that? Of course, they're not considered basar. They're not basar. So why would we even think that you're Tomei Tumas Nevela by touching them? So Rabbi Baba Chana says, Lo Nitzricha, the chiddush that the Mishnah needs to tell us that we learned from the Pasuk is, El Sha'asan Sikik Dela. Suppose that you took these things. Suppose that you took the skin or the bones or what have you, and you cooked them to make like a seasoned stew. Rashi describes Bishlon Habe and Tavlin. You cooked them a lot with spices. Like you made sort of like a stew out of them, kind of like gelatin or char or something like that, whatever. So the point is, even in that case, it doesn't have Tumas Nevela. So therefore, so you have your answer. The skin of it, fine, but the point is, it doesn't have Tumas Nevela. So therefore, you're not allowed to eat it because it's from a Nevela. So there's the answer. We know, therefore, that the skin of the donkey is covered by the first braisa, that if you cooked it down, then it is Matame Tumas Oichlin. And the second one will tell us that even if you made it, it doesn't have Tumas Nevela. So what are you asking? The answer is, La'olam Tumas Oichlin. No, the question after all was whether the skin of this donkey that you cooked had Tumas Oichlin. Tumas Nevelas, fine, that's covered by the second bride, so we know it doesn't have Tumas Nevelas, but the question is still whether it has Tumas Oichlin. The shiny Urchamur Gemois. It's different when it comes to the skin of a donkey, because that's extremely disgusting. So maybe even though you cooked it and made it soft, and it is in principle edible now, but because it's the skin of a donkey, which no person in their right mind would ever eat, maybe it still doesn't have Tumas Oichlin. So that's the question. If now a sheretz or what have you were to touch it, would it become Tomei? Would it be able to transmit Toma now to other foods? And so we're not sure. So the Gemara leaves it as unsure, and therefore the Rambam passes, you have a suffix about it. So if you have a case like that, you took the skin of a donkey, you cooked it down for a long time until it became soft, a source of Toma touches it, it's a suffix whether it's Tomei. If now it touched other food, it would be a suffix whether that other food is Tomei or not.
Because
we're not sure. On the one hand, maybe it would be covered under the first braisa, that you should take a regular skin and cook it, then it's metamic to Tumas Oichlin. It's considered food to that extent, so maybe this is also, but maybe the skin of a donkey is so particularly near stick that maybe not.
So it's less likely to be Oichlin than not.
That's the point. But on the other hand, the fact is, we had a braisa that said Ha'ur ain't metamic to Tumas Oichlin, but it's shokai, but if you cooked it for a long time, then it is. And the braisa didn't distinguish between a donkey or not, so therefore maybe. Okay.